Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Awesome. Very, very happy for Jerry. One of the great guys here and one of the great guys in the business.
BT and Sal Show on the Fan, presented by your Tri-State Cadillac dealers. Cadillac, the official luxury vehicle of the New York Giants. We'll keep it going with the Giant calls here. Work in baseball. When we come back at like 11:20 or so, we'll start to get into that, whether it's Cashman from last night. Ottavino had some. I couldn't believe how open Ottavino. That's my guy over there, Ottavino. I was working with him a little bit at SNY. Hey, where was that kid in this on Baseball Night in New York? We weren't really getting it, so we could get into some of those comments as well. But back to the Giants here. Bruce is calling from Brooklyn. What's up, Bruce?
How you doing today, guys? I got a comment and a quick coaching question for you.
Go for it.
First of all, I think that unless Kafka gets, like, really spectacular results, like a win in Detroit, a win in New England, he's going to have a really uphill battle becoming the Giants head coach, because most people are going to say he's too associated with Dable. Most people are going to think, they're going with the same old crap, you know.
But what would you do?
I do.
I'm asking you, Bruce, I'm sorry. What would you do? Would you give him a legit run, or would you want a clean house totally?
I would want a clean house totally. That's my question for you. I can live with Mike McCarthy as head coach, but what about going with a young West Coast coach like a Kubiak or a Shula, someone like that?
Yeah, but Shula's defense. Shula's defense out there with McVay. You got to go offense,
yeah,
no?
Yeah, but I would go with a defensive-minded coach. The Giants could use a defensive boost.
Can I ask you something? If you're going to go, and thank you for the call, Bruce. If you're going to go defense, why wouldn't you just go Flores? If you're going to go defensive coordinator route. Now, I'm taking McDermott out of it. I'm talking about like the young.
Yeah.
Flores has experience.
Lawsuit. That's the short answer.
All right, but
there's a lot to resolve. And if you could do that, he should be interviewed.
You're telling me.
I think he's terrific. I like Flores.
If your life was on the line and you had to make sure that you hit. Or whatever, right? You know.
No,
what I'm
I got
about.
You. I got you.
You had to make sure that you hit,
yeah,
not just for a game, but as the right head coach to develop this team up over the next 3 to 4 years. Would you go Chris Shula or Brian Flores?
I would go Flores, but I would go McDermott over Flores. I would go McCarthy over Flores.
Okay, so you're eliminating Shula in that equation.
And I know a lot of people really like Shula.
McVay tree.
I get it.
You know, his last name.
Yeah, I'm not trying to rule him out. I need something a little bit more established at that point. And Flores, you know, is somewhat established. It's a good name. I'm not
and
saying it's not.
He at least has
really
experience in doing the job as a head coach. I don't believe that the failures there were on him. I believe it was the crappy Miami Dolphin organization.
Yeah, look at them now. They're still a mess.
Point is that if I were going to go that route, I would go Flores over Shula. But I certainly understand going offensive coordinator. And if you're going to go that route, then why not give a strong consideration to Kafka? Just because I wouldn't do it, or maybe our last caller wouldn't do it, doesn't mean that the Giants shouldn't be at least open to it. If you see some good things here with Kafka, for me, somebody who didn't want any part of Kafka just because I want a totally clean house, he's at least shown me a couple of positive things already in his first couple of weeks here that I like.
Yeah, and listen, it was, I didn't really know how he would do, but I remember saying that I think he's going to get a pretty long look here. I think they're going to give him a chance at least to win the job, where, like, you knew when Albert came in for Robert Saleh, it's like, all right, when is this thing over? There's no chance he's going to get the job. But I think
he's the one guy that made it worse than Saleh.
A lot worse, actually. Yeah. Think about that. No, but I do think that he's going to get some real consideration. You know, and the other thing, too, is I don't know how it's going to finish in Green Bay. I mean, Matt LaFleur, suddenly, is he as safe as we thought? I don't think that Zach Taylor, for me or for others, is quite as maybe revered as maybe some others, like a McDermott or some other coaches who might be let go. But, you know, I think there's going to be some other established names who are fired. Now, I wouldn't want Pete Carroll. I know I would at least have a conversation myself with Stefanski. We talked about that last week. Would you even talk to him if he's fired?
Yeah, I mean, I talked
to
him.
By the Browns?
I would talk to, first of all, before you make those decisions, right, and the Giants could have their list, and Jay Glazer reported about it a week ago, you don't know who's going to be out there, to your point. So if LaFleur's out there, yeah, I mean, I don't care how good Kafka is. If you're going to go that route, why wouldn't you hire LaFleur? If McDermott's out there or Stefanski, yeah, I mean, you at least talk to all these guys. I would want somebody. My main criteria would be somebody with head coaching experience before. I would not want to hire another first time.
It's almost it's almost like it's a deal breaker if it's not. You just have to try that. They need stability. And the other thing, too, is like even if the Bills don't fire McDermott, think about this. Or, you wouldn't trade for Zach Taylor. But the Packers don't fire LaFleur, but they're kind of at the point where they can go either way, but they decide not to fire. Maybe you entice them with a trade.
Zach Taylor is an interesting name. Let's suspend reality for a second, even if it's not realistic. Think about this. It just shows you that it's faulty logic when we talk about this stuff with, well, maybe Kafka could be the guy or some offensive coordinator. The unknown is always going to be more appealing than the known of Zach Taylor. Zach Taylor has done I don't think he's a great head coach either, but he coached the Bengals to a Super Bowl. And yeah, well, Joe Burrow, okay, well, he knows what it takes. He's been there before. He's worked with one of the best quarterbacks in the game. You can't tell me that if you compare side by side Kafka to Zach Taylor, that you'd rather have Kafka, but a lot of people probably would because of the unknown. And it's not even just Kafka. Pick an offensive coordinator from some other team.
Yeah,
I don't know, Zach Taylor. Yeah, what? Getting to the Super Bowl is not good enough for you. I'm sorry. Yeah, bought this and yeah, bought that. Yeah, but he did it. Yeah, but he did it. The other guy didn't. So the unknown is always more appealing than the known, especially if the known didn't achieve the highest of degrees, meaning winning a Super Bowl.
Yeah, because it's a risk that I don't think the Giants could take at this point. Like the unknown of even Kafka to an extent, or some of these other, you know, Shula, the other names we've thrown out as coordinators, the unknown. I think there's times where the unknown is really appealing and galvanizing. Like, oh, you know, I got a good feel about this guy. But the Giants can't roll the dice there. I don't think that they will. The other thing about Zach Taylor, he's pretty young. He's only 42. Yeah. It's a young guy.
You have his record up there?
I got
or no?
it all up. Yeah.
Yeah, give me his.
Dude, I didn't realize he was 36 when he got that first job. So he goes
36.
That's
the head coach.
Wow, 36. Yeah, I thought it was a little bit older than that. So 2-14 first, but they were a train wreck before that. 2-14. Up to 4-11, up to 10-7,
love it.
Up to 12-4.
Love it. That's how you build.
Bing,
yeah.
Bing, bing, yeah. Bing. Then you get
bing,
to it.
Bing, boom.
Yeah. Bada bing. Yeah.
Dink, dunk.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying.
Yes, I know.
And then you get, you know, now you get a little regression. 9-9, and this year's been a mess. But the defense really is deplorably bad. That's not really his fault. Yeah, he's a guy that I don't know that he's a home run, but let me ask you this. Taylor McCarthy.
6-16, Rami says, without Burrow, Taylor. But still, I mean, right. Burrow's there. Right. He's a part of it. I just value the experience and having some success and some failures. That's all part of it. Every head coach ever is going to be better with a good quarterback than without. It's not a knock on the head coach if he has more success with a good quarterback. That's not a knock to me.
I think that's the reality.
Yeah. Well,
that's the reality, yeah. Except McCarthy, and he's checking this out. I forget the exact numbers here, but McCarthy won games without Dak Prescott. One of the reasons I like him. And it's one thing to win
He didn't win without Aaron Rodgers, if memory serves correct, Rodgers went down in Green Bay.
I get that, but I'm saying once Dak Prescott got hurt, was it Cooper Rush, right? Rush stepped in. I'm not saying he won, you know, 90% of the games, but they didn't drown.
McCarthy's a good head. He's a good, solid head coach. Go ahead, Rami. You got
9-8.
Okay.
Without Dak.
I mean, 9-8. Right,
can you one more, Rami? We're putting you to work today here. Can you look up today. McCarthy in Green Bay without Rodgers? Because I know Rodgers got hurt at least one of those years.
He separated his shoulder. He got flung in the turf. Now, who stepped in for him? That was pre-Jordan Love. Was that who the hell was the backup at that point?
I don't remember. Forget. I'll know it when you tell me it, but I forget.
Me too.
Anyway, BT and Sal on the fan. Andre calling from Totowa, New Jersey. What's up, Andre?
Hey, what's up, guys? Big fan of the show. I listen all the time.
Nice.
DC, actually, I met you in church last night.
Oh, it's my guy. Yeah, Andre, what's going on, buddy?
You sat in front of me, and I was like, is this Brandon Tierney? And I'm like, it's got to be. So I went to the end of service.
Yeah.
It was a pretty cool experience seeing him there.
It was cool. I appreciate you coming up and saying hi. That meant a lot. Thank you, man. Very good. What's going on, bud? You said you were going to call. Let's hit it.
Yeah, with this Giants team, right, this head coaching job, in my opinion, has to be one of the most appealing out there in years with, you know, young franchise quarterback and Dart. You have the left tackle, great running back, Malik Nabers, and Theo Johnson even has looked promising and looks like he's developing, in my opinion. And then not to mention the front seven is stacked. So we're probably going to have a top pick. You know, do we go get a guy like Jordan Tyson to go opposite Nabers out of Arizona State?
Stud.
Caleb Downs from Ohio State's outstanding.
Stud.
DB, help out the secondary. He's been brutal. Right? Or do you trade the pick, get more draft capital? I just wanted your guys' opinion on that.
Oh, man. We'll flush through. Andre, really good meeting you. Thanks for the call there, buddy. I would have to see. There's a couple of variables which kind of prevents me from definitively answering that now. Number one, how did the tight ends look the rest of the year? I mean, that's maybe not the main qualifier, but I'd like to see how that, because you're right, Theo has looked good. I'd like to see exactly where the Giants are picking. I'd like to see, you know, what, how healthy Dart is the rest. And if the offensive line holds up, like if the Giants are picking third, fourth, or fifth, you're not going quarterback. You could go receiver. You could go defense. But you could also go offensive line. So they're going to have, and you could also trade out. Now you could trade out with the Jets. Jets need a quarterback. I don't think it's beyond the realm of possibility that the Jets and the Giants make a trade if there's a situation that would enable the Jets to get their quarterback. So, Andre, in a long-winded way, I think there's a lot of things at play is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, it's way too early for me. I'm more concerned about who's going to be making the pick as opposed to who they will be picking at this particular point. We're ways away from that. But yet again, we're going to have the Jets and Giants, you know, picking atop the draft far too often, which we shouldn't really be having.
It's like our football hobby. Yeah. All right, so question for you.
Yeah.
So I want to get your opinion on this. So as you know, I went to Catholic school my entire life.
Yeah.
One through eight.
I didn't want to get into
it. That's all good. No, I'm sorry.
Thursday
eight.
Night, I didn't even know church was open on Thursdays.
Neither did I.
Sundays and that day.
Until my wife dragged me there. Now, so first, you know, 1 through 8 Catholic school. I'm a product of the Catholic school. You know that. High school, Jesuit, Catholic, all boys. And, yeah, I mean, did I love going to church when I was young? No, of course not. I went to see the girls. Half the time I was in my uniform because I was going to a basketball game or a baseball game after it. But I definitely have taken away good things from church. Now, as I got older, I got away from it. I did, okay. Admittedly. So, you know, and my wife, Dallas girl, Texas, faith is strong out there, which I love. We're not going on Sundays. There's too many games,
right, okay.
And I've got to work. So she presented this. She's like, hey, there's this church in this area. What do you think? Give it a shot. And it started as date night. She's like, we can maybe go get sushi, you and I.
No kids, just you and her?
Well, it started that way because, like, Colt was at football. Yeah. My daughter was at soccer. And, you know, so I'm like, yeah. I'm like, okay. Not the date night that I had in mind. Not the old date nights, but yeah. All right. So I enjoyed it because I did. Because you know why? And I'm not going to get too deep with this, but
at Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Is that what it's going to take to get some of these teams to start winning around here?
Dude, I mean, the Knicks are good. The Rangers are all over the map. Last night was gross.
Well, the Jets Islanders and Giants stink.
Jets and Giants stink. Yanks are good, not great. Yeah. Mets are okay, need to get better. I don't know.
Maybe, by the way, yeah. speaking of the Yanks and Church and all that stuff, you still haven't watched the A-Rod doc, which I watched last night.
Do you know why?
Tell Colt to help you get into HBO Max.
It's not Colt. He usually figures it. Like, he gets me from Prime to Apple, like when the Yanks and the Mets are doing
that.
Oh,
you still know the sign-in?
Yeah, because we got these new remotes. Yeah. I told you nine times, mm-hmm. so I won't take long here. We got these new remotes. So to get into Apple, to get into Netflix, to get into Prime, to get into HBO Max, my wife had to take her phone with the QR code, which I thought was for menus, not remotes, and then it automatically clicks you in. I don't know any of the passcodes.
Yeah.
That's why I haven't watched it. I'm dying to watch it.
Yeah, well, it was tremendous. And not that A-Rod was going to church, but he was talking about the his therapist and all this. You got to watch it. And Francesco was all over that. BT and Sal on the Fan. Mark is calling from Brooklyn about the Yankee offseason moves. What's up, Mark?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. You hear a lot of names connected to the Yankees this offseason, but why not more of Bo Bichette? I'm interested in hearing your take on that. I feel like he makes a lot of sense. He could play shortstop this year, because I am with you, BT, that you need to have competition with Volpe. You can't. Yep. I believe you said that, BT. Sorry.
I did. Yeah, no, for sure. We're at that point.
You can't just hand Volpe the job on a platter.
No.
So he makes sense at short for now. Chaz Chisholm leaves in a year. You stick him at second. I don't know. You have money to spend. I'm a little more lukewarm. I prefer, obviously, Tucker to Bellinger. I shouldn't say obviously. Some people feel vice versa. And to me, if you don't get Tucker, I'd actually go I'd go Bichette over Bellinger. I'm interested in hearing what you guys think about that.
I would not go Bichette over Bellinger. Thanks for the call. Bichette's defense is a big problem. Although, obviously, at second base, he would probably project a lot better than at shortstop, where his defensive numbers are not good. You know, the thing about Bellinger, I really want Bellinger. I really like Bellinger, and I know that he really fits in this city and with this team. But you know, let's also call for what it is. There's been a little bit of an elevation as to who Bellinger is. I mean, we're starting to talk about Bellinger like it was Soto last year, you know, because, and that actually speaks negatively on how the Yankees are built. Like, Bellinger's a good player. He's an above average player at multi, you know, he's good speed, pretty good power, good defender, good versatility, good contact guy, great clubhouse guy. We know those things, but he's not a superstar. But because the Yankees have other issues, whether it's third base, whether it's short, whether it's DH with Stanton, all the things we know, left field, who knows if Dominguez or Jones can really play, Grisham with the $22 million contract, which is dopey, we're elevating him. Same with the Mets, because I think he'd be a great fit for the Mets, making him better than he really is.
Well, his greatest asset, in my mind, is his flexibility and versatility. That's it. That's why I want Bellinger. It's not, oh, look at Bellinger and the offensive numbers he's going to produce. He's a good ball player, but the appeal to me from both the Mets and Yankees is that he's versatile. I thought he fit in perfectly with the Yankees. You could play center field. You could play some first. You could play left. And obviously with
played
the Mets.
Right, too, when Judge was out. Remember, they played right, too.
Yeah, with the Mets, he could do the same exact thing. Yep. So if you're trying to upgrade defense and you have holes all over the place, that's why I would want Bellinger, not because I think his bat is plus, 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 which, by the way, means he's probably not going to get, he's not getting $200 million.
So. No, but he's going to get 6 years. I mean, and if there's a robust market for him, which I think there's going to be, I don't think it's off the table that he gets seven. So versatility, if that's his best thing, which I would agree with you on, and he's also physically reliable. I know I had the shoulder issue with the Dodgers, but he pretty much plays every day. So he's versatile defensively, and you know what you're going to get, but 7 years? I mean, we're paying 7 years for versatility?
No, you can't pay 7 years for that. I would go 5 or 6 years. And again, you got to have it at a reasonable cost. Is he worth more than Pete Alonso? Think about it. I'd rather have Pete's bat and power, but you want Bellinger's versatility.
Mm-hmm.
So they're two different things that might warrant similar amounts. Pete's going to want that 6 times 30. You do the math.
And 180.
And Bellinger's probably going to want a similar thing. I think they're getting, when we do these contract projections for BNNY, and I think they're going to get similar totals for different reasons, but I think Bellinger's going to be in the 160-something ballpark, and I think Alonso's going to be in the 170 ballpark.
So the only, I didn't see that. You know, I love the show, too. I like when you guys do that.
We do a money pit. I'd be curious to get your guess.
Okay,
we do a money pit each year of, like, the top free agents.
Mm-hmm.
So this year it was Diaz.
I think Diaz is going to get 4 years.
Alonso and Bellinger, the total amount.
Okay, I think Bellinger's going to get 6 years, about 170.
Okay.
I think that Pete is going to get 4 or 5.
Right.
Let's see, 30 to 150. At about 150, maybe 155.
Okay, so give me your total.
What, 155.
Okay.
And I think that Diaz is going to get between 80 and 90 because I don't think he's going to get the 5 years.
Wow, okay.
Not between 70 and 80 for Diaz, actually. So less than that. Yeah,
so
70
put,
and 80.
I'll put 80 for you there.
I think the biggest difference, I know I threw a lot of numbers at you. I think the biggest difference is I just don't see Pete getting 6 years. And I do see Bellinger getting that. I also think now, I'm not saying
that's one of the lower totals, by the way, 405. Some people, we have like 20 people guess so far.
Yeah.
Zeal, for example, was 490. I'm like 475, and then we have a couple people low in the threes, so you're on the lower end of the guess.
Okay.
In total, the dollars that they're going to sign for.
Okay, but, okay. I think that, and I would not walk away from the negotiation. If it goes here, I would swallow hard and grit my teeth and probably do it because you have to. But I really think there's a chance Bellinger goes to 7 years. I do.
And you think he'd be back with the Yankees for that?
I think the Yankees would probably do it.
You think so, huh?
I don't even think Pete's going to get six.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
I think that's the max for
Bellinger and Pete, though.
Rami, you have the cut from Cashman talking about the outfield lineup. Now, again, he could be playing possum, but this was him last night at his event there, sleeping outside to bring awareness to the homeless. Go ahead, listen to Cashman.
First order business, we got Grisham in the fold, so that, you know, one of our big hitters and defenders is back. So that solves one area of our needs, but,
does it?
You know, we have two big important free agents that left us. Grisham was one, Bellinger's another. We'd love to have Bellinger come back. I talked to Scott Boras yesterday about Belly and other free agents of his. I talked to Casey Close today about his free agents. He's got Kyle Tucker.
Okay, and then you have one more on him if Bellinger doesn't come back.
Now we have a lot more certainty, and so I can play with making it more certainty by bringing another free agent if we can find the matches we want or a trade. Or if not, the fallback would be those. Worst case scenario, those two kids fight it out, and may the best person win.
Okay,
that can't happen.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That to me is playing possum. There's no way that the Yankees could go into the season with those two guys, Spencer Jones and Dominguez, and Grisham as the center field.
No. Yeah, that might sound good here late November. We can't be having this conversation when we're looking at the opening day lineup here, March 25 or March 26, whenever they open up against the Giants. That's not good enough. It's unacceptable. You can't have Grisham in center. These two kids battling it out and left, as you said, Judge and Wright. The only way it would be acceptable, and this will not happen because I think others will maybe pay a little bit more to have him play a lot of positions. Like if at first base was Bellinger,
right,
and Rice is your DH, all right, that I'm a little more open to it. But if Bellinger is on a different team, there is no way they can open up with that outfield. And what, Rice at first?
I mean, who knows? Rice may be traded for Corey Seager.
You want to get into this now?
No, we can take a break. You have one more there, Rami, you said? From
Yeah, we got to set that up right. That's a bigger conversation.
Go ahead.
The team that we had last year, which was really good on paper, but fell short of our ultimate goal, you know, is now depleted because of free agency. So we got to find a way to at least get back to where we were. But the ultimate goal is to make it better. So got a lot more work to do and the whole winter to do it.
Right. So the ultimate goal is to make it better. It wasn't good enough last year, so you got to get back to where you were last year, and then you got to make it better. That's why I have confidence the Yankees are going to do that. As a matter of fact, I still think the Yankees were hot for Kyle Tucker a year ago. Why would they all of a sudden be off of Kyle Tucker?
Because they didn't have to pay him a year ago. Because they would have been Luis Gil for Tucker, so you get him in for a year and then reevaluate.
No, but they want him. They weren't going to do another trade a guy and let him walk situation.
I understand that, but it's just a little bit of a different tone when the only way to get him in the building now is with a check that might be $400 and something million. Whereas last year, it's like, all right, do we want to part with the reigning rookie of the year and Gil for Tucker?
Why not?
It's just a little different.
Why not Bellinger back?
Yep.
Insurance for any of the outfield spots and can play first.
Mm-hmm.
And either trade for Kwan, which is what I would do,
yep,
or sign Tucker.
That's a home run.
Okay, exactly.
I don't think they'll spend that kind of money.
Hoff, you have something here?
I do have news. Jackson Dart has not been cleared. Concussion protocol. So Jameis Winston will be starting on Sunday.
Oh, man. That's a big surprise.
Well, now I can go to Costco on Sunday.
Yeah,
or church, for that matter.
You could.
Oh, are you kidding me?
Sucks. I mean, why? Why watch this game?
Thought he was progressing along. What happened? He didn't get cleared?
He did not get cleared. He's ruled out. That's according to Schefter.
That's a surprise. I mean, he was on the practice field.
Earlier in the week, it was trending. It felt like he was trending. I'm not there. I'm just reading the reports.
I'm stunned. I mean, just the way these concussion protocols go, There's a lot more information than there used to be. And, you know, he was on the practice field, you know, last week just having a little fun dancing. So I'm like, oh, he's going to definitely play against the Lions here. I am very surprised, and now I am completely uninterested in this game.
So he won't be starting. Will he be at Monday Night Raw on Monday? Do we know?
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
I don't know if it was Talking Yanks. Was it Talking Yanks who had the proposed deal of Austin Wells? What text did I send you guys last night?
It was that the Volpe, Rice?
Yeah, exactly. Wells, Rice, and Volpe for Seager. Mm-hmm. I mean, to me, that's not even enough, honestly. But would you do that? Take on how hard would you be going after Corey Seager?
I'm not interested at all.
What?
And it's got nothing to do with wanting to hang on to Wells or Volpe. Okay. Obviously, I love Ben Rice. You know that, but I mean, to get a stud, you got to give up a stud. He's not physically reliable anymore. Doesn't this kind of feel a little bit like Mike Stanton? So let me lay it out for you. In 2021, he missed 60-plus games. In 2022, he played the entire season just about. But the next season, he missed 40-plus. And then in 2024, he missed 40. And then this year, he's missed 60. This year, he's had 2 DL stints due to his hamstring. In 2023, he missed 31 games, hamstring. In 2019, hamstring. This guy's, there's no guarantee that he's playing. I know Corey Seager is a stud. I mean, 2-time World Series
MVP. What about
MVP?
If you move to third base? I was reading John Harper for my colleague over there, our buddy Harp.
Love Harp.
And he was talking about maybe the Mets going after him and having him play third. Why couldn't the Yankees have him play third?
Okay, they could. So now I'd be a little bit more open to this. So that means getting the $16 million this year and next year off the books for McMahon. Like, I've got to look at this from two points of view. And I'm less concerned about giving a prospect. I want to win, damn it. I screw the prospects. Right. I'm tired of this. So just, I'll trade whoever you want if it's the right player.
Like
so everybody knows that now. Schoolboy, whatever. It doesn't matter. Skeens, take whatever you want. But there's a lot of money. He's making $31 million this year,
next year.
Yeah, 28, 29, 30, and 31. So I look at it this way, Sal. If Corey Seager was a free agent today, and he's not, we know. Based on all the games he's missed, would you give him a 6-year, $190 million contract? Would you? Because I wouldn't.
Right now?
Yes.
Today. I would not.
Okay. Well, that's what it's equivalent to.
I wouldn't have really done it then, but I know a lot of Yankee fans wanted him.
I wanted him then.
Yeah.
So he's in his 20s.
Was he? He must have been hurt back then, too, because for some reason I was like, eh, I wasn't in love with the idea of Corey Seager.
He's always hurt. So I look at it this way. Oh, of course, if he's healthy, he's a stud. He is an absolute beast. He really is a great baseball player. But a guy who's missed all this time with the same injury, the hamstring.
I'm surprised you have no interest, though.
Well, I don't.
I mean, what if they pay some of it down or at least take, like you said, take McMahon. Now it's not the full 190.
Yep.
It's, you know, you're at least getting rid of, let's say, 30 in that case. That gets it down to 160. Maybe you send somebody else their way.
There's a way to have that conversation. Like that, yeah. I would have that conversation with. But now, would that preclude the Yankees from getting Bellinger? And if that's the case, or Tucker, I'm not interested. Dude. This cannot be the only offseason. Dude, he's always hurt.
I know, but he changed it even for 100 games.
Always hurt. 100 games. I'm not interested
if
in 100
healthy,
games.
Why not?
Not for a guy that's got 6 years, 195 to go on his contract.
Everybody's got, you know, the love affair with John Carl Stanton, who does the same thing, and he can't even at least play the field. Seager in the postseason, yeah, plus what he can do in the field.
Yeah, but Sal, when did the love affair ended years ago with Stanton? That's the point. Like, maybe I'm just preemptively trying to get ahead of a similar situation. Now, he's a better athlete, even when Stanton was 26, whatever he was with the Marlins. He plays a more premium position. I know that.
And two-time World Series, I mean, you want him in the postseason.
Wow.
If he plays 100 in the regular season, if he plays 20 in the however many he is in the postseason, yeah, you're good to go.
I understand that. But if the Yankees or if the Rangers were in the postseason this year, guess what? Seager wouldn't have been playing because he was hurt. So if he was on the Yankees this year, and he would not have been, he would have played.
Hoff, you want Seager? Is from a Mets perspective?
No, this is from a Yankees perspective. And I'll tell you this much: I understand his injury history is legit. Like, only playing 100 games is bad, but look at the last couple years. He hit 30 plus home runs 3 years in a row, and only played 150 games once. He led the league in doubles and played 120 games.
Hoff loves these doubles.
No,
I like doubles. I actually like doubles.
Hold on. So 42 doubles and 30 plus home runs. That's 70 extra base hits. Like, you'd die for that. You'd.
Yeah, I know. I know. I get it.
You'd get on your hands and knees for that.
You know what he wanted to say there. No, I get it. And you could potentially move him. I got to read this article during the break. But John Harper was bringing up the idea from a Mets perspective,
okay,
to go get him and move him to third base. If money's not... Okay, what are you concerned about if not
the contract? That he's going to break down, and they're going to rely on him to be one of their stars of the team, and he's not going to be physically reliable, and they will not have enough around them to win.
Could I throw you this little tidbit?
Yeah, of course.
If you make that trade, you get rid of Austin Wells, Ben Rice.
What if you can move Stanton?
Hold on.
Okay, go ahead.
Keep Stanton. Okay. Keep Stanton. Get rid of Austin Wells. Get rid of Ben Rice. Get rid of Volpe. And you make a move that's maybe unrealistic to some people, but it's the Yankees. They should be able to do it. Bring in JT Realmuto as catcher and Pete Alonso at first base. You tell me. Look around the diamond. You tell me that's not an unbelievably juggernaut of a team.
I don't love it. I really don't. First of all, Realmuto's 35. Now it's pop 30, time.
34.
They are going to need a catcher, right, though.
He's going to be 35 next year, right?
34.
He's 34.
What season is it going to be?
He doesn't hit the way he used to. I was digging on Realmuto the other day, so I'm very well aware. His pop time and his defensive metrics are outstanding. 90-plus percentile.
I take him. I would take him three years ago.
It doesn't hit the way
he used to. Okay, I'll ask you a question. You're talking about 1 year deal.
He'll be 35 this year.
One-year deal of JT Realmuto. I'm not saying sign him to a five-year deal. Austin Wells hit 20 home runs. He batted 200. What did he bat last year?
About 215, 220.
Okay, sorry. JT Realmuto hit 257 and hit put 12 in the seats.
Okay,
I'm fine with that.
And what's Realmuto's contract? I mean,
1 year deal.
Okay, but what is it? What are you paying? 15, 20?
Who cares?
No,
one-year deal.
Hoff, I don't care. I just have to care because I know that the Yankees care.
I don't want to care. But then that's the big issue.
I promise I don't want to.
What Hoff is laying out should not be... When we talk about the Mets and Yankees, nothing should be unrealistic, but we get to a level where... We do have to dial it back at least a little bit, but they really should both. Why is it not realistic for the Dodgers? Why do the Dodgers go do whatever the hell they want? And the Mets and Yankees are trying to compete with the Dodgers, aren't they? New York is second citizen to L.A. now? Come on.
Yeah, we are.
But that's bullcrap.
I agree, but that's the reality.
Especially from a Yankees perspective. Like, the Mets still have ways to go. Financially, they don't. They're right there with everybody else. Yeah. But they have ways to go to build themselves into the sustained winner. Brian Cashman nailed it. We weren't good enough last year, so we need to do what we did last year and then get better. That's the idea. Yeah, you're the Yankees. Start acting like it. Get a player from Japan. Go get Corey Seager. Bring back Bellinger. Still add on top of that. Trade some of the younger guys. Go get Kwan Bill. How about you build a team, a lineup?
Okay, so now if you do all this, now this is part of the consideration. It's not centrally on my mind, but it just popped in now, obviously, so it's not central. But you've got to think about everything. So we think Skeens will eventually get dealt, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, we think. You know,
it could not happen for 2 years, though.
No, I know. But if you trade Wells, not that Volpe's going to get you Skeens, and Rice, and you give up whatever it would take to get Seager, well, now... You're a little diminished in your ability to make. I'm just saying that's low on the list. I'm trying to be responsible.
I don't think it would. I honestly don't believe it would take that much. Now, I'm
to get
not,
Skeens?
No. To get Seager.
Okay, gotcha. And not, well, only,
I don't
only
value,
if they don't eat money.
But that's my point. So
then they're going to need the prospects.
They're looking to get rid of the salary.
I know they are.
So they're not going to eat money, which should make it then less players less going that way.
That's true. That's a good read on that.
And Volpe, Wells, and Rice are not prospects. They're big league players.
I also think Rice is going to be hitting 3, 4, 5. You know, Ben Rice is a masher. Volpe's got problems, and Wells is, you know, not quite what I thought, though. He's still 20-something home runs, and he's young, and he's a good defensive catcher. But I'd give him up. I'm not.
Well,
but Ben Rice is he's going to be one of the best. Kid can hit.
The issue is he doesn't have a position to play.
I know.
So I'm okay with keeping Rice, or with giving up Rice if you had to, but I also don't even know if you have to do that. You tell me Wells is going to have some value, a cheap catcher with pop.
Yeah.
Volpe's going to have some value, a cheap second base shortstop with potential.
Take like a high A arm that's like number 7 or 8 on your prospect list. I'm not saying that there's not a way to do it. I guess my philosophy has changed.
Or even, by the way, even if you had to give up Dominguez instead of Rice, I wouldn't want to give up Rice. Names, I know, but I don't think you would have to in that situation. For Seager?
If you're right, then I'm more amenable to it. All I'm saying is my philosophy has shifted. I am done, you know, even when the Knicks used to do this with Morberry and all, I am done chasing players who I believe best years are behind them and who are not physically reliable. And by the way, have big numbers attached to their contracts. Nobody has to tell me that if Seager's the opening day shortstop, you know, for the Yankees, that he's going to be a stud. He hits, he runs, he fields. He's just a he does it in October. He's a stud. He's going to be 32. You think he's got a lot more baseball, or his best baseball in the rearview mirror?
But if he
I believe
you,
it's the latter, and I'm worried about that.
But if he gave you his best years or two more peak years, two out of the next three.
No,
you could win a World Series.
Yeah, you could, and that's
it's worth a flyer.
That's the rub there. It's worth a flyer. It would be an absolute.
Would you rather have Bregman at whatever he's going to get, or Seager at his 6 for $185 or whatever it is, 190?
If it would take Rice, that's a good question. If it would take Rice to get Seager, and I think you're right, it probably wouldn't because they want to get rid of the money. But if it would. Then I would go for the Bregman because you're buying Bregman and you're keeping Rice. Like you don't have to give up Rice to get Bregman. You just buy Bregman.
How about one or the other then? Now, I think Seager's the better player. The problem
He's definitely better.
Okay, but the problem is Bregman plays. So
correct.
Oh, okay, but either way, you have to take it. There are no. Nobody's perfect. I mean.
Well, the Yankees used to be pretty close to being perfect.
But even then, they would take.
Stupid moves that have gotten them from being incredibly imperfect.
But they would take chances, or it's lack thereof. The Yankees don't take chances anymore. They should have signed Seager in the first place years ago. They could have done that. They didn't want to. Oh, you don't want to trade Volpe. Keep him. You could have traded Volpe for Luis Castillo. Like, they could have had different iterations of this team, and they chose not to do it. Their biggest issue is not spending poorly. Their biggest issue is relying on the young players, and they come up and they don't do anything. They don't come close to what they were supposed to do. If Volpe was doing what he was supposed to be doing by now, we wouldn't be talking about Corey Seager.
You'd have a leadoff hitter.
If Dominguez was, in fact, a Martian, we wouldn't be talking about potentially trading him or platooning with Spencer Jones. You get there's a theme here. Austin Wells, same thing. If he were actually performing to the level consistently like we thought he was going to, we wouldn't be having the conversation about him needing to be traded potentially or just not living up to his potential.
Yeah, but think about this. You're talking about like the chances that the Yankees need to take. Like I actually see it the other way in terms of when the Yankees were at their apex in terms of the most recent dynasty. I don't mean the 70s, obviously 96 through whatever. They really didn't take chances. Like, they would, okay, you want to trade David Wells for Clemens, pissed off some Yankee fans in the moment, but at least you had Pettit, you had Cone, you had other established pitchers. So it was fairly risk-averse. Even if it was a bit of a push, it wasn't a big deal. To me, like, when you talk about the risks, you know, getting Stanton, who you knew would not age well, other risks here, that the Hicks stuff and buying out the years of giving him the extra contract, which was stupid, taking a flyer like a Gallo, those are risks. I think that the Yankees are at their best when they didn't take risks. This is a big risk.
Bregman only played 12 more games than Seager last year, too, so how about that?
I understand that, but when I talk about that's why.
No, he stays healthy.
That's what I'm saying. Like, when you look at his injury history outside of 2022, which is the outlier when Seager played 151 games in succession, 23, 24, 25, he missed 40-plus games, he missed 40, he missed 60. That's a lot of times your name's not in the lineup.
Sports Talk on the Fan, presented by Paramount Plus. Now streaming on Paramount Plus, it's the return of Landman from Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone. Academy Award winner Billy Bob Thornton is back. Featuring Academy Award nominees Demi Moore, Andy Garcia, and Sam Elliott. Landman, new season now streaming only on Paramount Plus.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer.
When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.